Good morning. A welcome to our guests this morning. We thank you for joining us. Today we're going to take a look at a text which is very familiar. We hear it many times and in many places. And even at times on secular television and in movies. And it is a very special text that is referenced many times at funerals. And the reason that I actually chose this text, and I had told Mark this, because Mark, I used it for a funeral not too long back, and Mark said, I've never heard that text preached on. And I said, the next time it comes up in the pericope, I will do it. And lo and behold, not too long, within 2 months, it came up. And it came up this morning. And I started to think about it, and I realized that I can't remember a time when this text was expounded upon. Now, that does not mean it wasn't or that I didn't hear it. It just might have meant that I didn't pay attention. And so, as you are listening this morning, I ask you to try to remember. The text is very meaningful, and it gives us great perspectives about who we are and about who God is and at the wonderful faithfulness we have in our Lord. And because of this great faithfulness, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from one of the Psalms of David, Psalm 23. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our text starts out with a statement that's not really part of the actual song, but it states the authorship. A Psalm of David. A song or a poem that is sacred. David, who is one of the greatest of kings of Israel, the first one, raised his nation to great power and prominence in his time, is the author of this psalm. David, a person in a worldly way that had everything, all the power, all the glory, all the money. But in this first verse, he states who he is, along with who God is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When David says, the Lord is my shepherd, all of this sounds quite cute and quite wonderful. Because we have a romanticized view of the shepherd-sheep relationship. We think of something that is very cuddly and nice and wonderful. And we think, well, that's cool, we're a sheep, and God just kind of cradles us. And yes, and no. Because as you start to understand things about sheep, and I really didn't understand sheep, for many years this text and many texts were wasted on me. Because in our modern society, we don't deal with what sheep are. We really don't have a perspective. But in the last 15 to 20 years, thanks to Brother Steve and now my brother-in-laws, I've had the opportunity to watch sheep in action. And so we must first look at what David calls himself, a sheep. Because in order to have a shepherd, you need to be a sheep. Sheep often wander off and go in places that they aren't supposed to go. The sheep, and I've told this story once in another from another text, but the sheep at my brother-in-law's farm are kept about a mile away at a different farm. And one day last winter, when one of the boys went and brought feed to them and water, they spilled a little along the way. And even though they dumped the big bucket of food into the sheep pen, one of the sheep decided that that wasn't good enough. I want that stuff that's down the road. And so it got out, and all the other sheep followed, and they walked down the road and all the way over to the other farm to the main pile. And that wasn't so bad, because of course they led them back in and got them back into the sheep pen where they had plenty of water and plenty of food and all their needs were taken care of. But the next day they wandered out again, and all the way down the road and all the way back to the other farm. And see, the sheep were oblivious to the danger that they faced. Once they got out of the pen and got out of where they were supposed to be, they no longer had shelter. And it was winter in Minnesota. It is cold. They were no longer protected from the cars going down the road. They were no longer protected from the predators. And so, the sheep were all ignorant of the dangers they faced, and even of how well they were taken care of in the sheep pen where they were supposed to stay. Now David compares himself to these animals. This is not supposed to be a compliment. David is comparing himself and us to something that is basically very dumb. Now, nobody likes to be called dumb, but unfortunately, we all are. Because we wander around all over the place, and we wander to places that we aren't supposed to be, and we do things that we aren't supposed to do. But our shepherd comes to find us. We know from David's life, or if we have read from David's life, that many times during his life, he fell away. He did things that were wrong. And he sinned and got into trouble. And yet, God always sought to bring him to repentance and to forgiveness. And we find out, as we go through this, exactly what the God provides for us. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. David describes some of the most basic needs that are fulfilled by the Lord in this verse. We know that green pastures, that would be daily sustenance. But we also, if we know a little bit more about sheep, know that they have to lay down after they have eaten and chew their cud and rest so that they can actually use that nourishment that has been given to them. And so, what David is referencing as a shepherd is that midday he brings them to a place where the sheep can rest. And they can digest their food at their leisure. And the next thing that he deals with is water. Every living creature needs water. And so he says he leads me beside still waters. Again, you have to know something about sheep. Sheep cannot drink out of something that is wavy or something that is running like a fast-moving stream. They need a quiet pool to be able to dip down and to drink. And we know that when we compare this with the New Testament, that Jesus Christ is our living water. And these are the things that David really brings out. He brings out that God, the Lord, continues to do this throughout his life. And then he does something even greater. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here it is. He restores my soul. David knew enough to know that he could not restore his soul or his relationship with God, but God himself would restore it. And this is something that gets messed up in Christianity all the time. Sometimes we think, or people think, that it is something that we have to do to get our soul restored. It is something that must be done by us, rather than knowing it is something that has been done for us. We cannot ask for something that has been already completed. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ went to the cross to shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we would be restored, so that we would have new life in him. And so if this was already done, if this is already in place, is there any need to ask for it? Or do we just believe it? The only thing we can really do is reject this grace and this message that has been given to us. And if we do not reject that restoration through Jesus Christ, our lives are then led by the Good Shepherd. And he leads us to and where we need to be, for his name's sake, so that he would be glorified. It's not so that we would be lifted up. It's so that he would be lifted up. And by the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit, he continues to do this. Now, this does not mean that we are still not sheep, that we will still not wander into places that we shouldn't be, that we will still not sin. But it means that the Good Shepherd will come and to look for us, to come and to find us, and to carry us back to where we belong. He will search us out no matter what pit we may find ourselves in. David saw this through all his life and through tough times. And he saw it through some very tough times before he became king of Israel, when Saul was still the king. And he says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David knew what it was to be under the sentence of death. Saul wanted him dead. He understood what it was like to hide and to fear all the political power that could come to bear. And yet, his reliance was on the Lord. He did not fear. David, who didn't even know the name, the Messiah by name, but realized that God would fulfill his promises to Israel, had no fear. And this is very interesting to me, because the more I listen to modern Christianity, the more I hear and read, I hear all these things about how afraid we should be. This is silly. I hear it on Christian radio, I hear it on television, that somehow the government or the media is going to hurt us. Do we somehow think that the God Almighty, who conquered sin, death, and the devil, is going to let a political power or a media thwart his will? We have nothing to fear, including evil, for we are the children of God. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is the one who fights for us. It is by his weapons that we are protected. We are not to look to take comfort in a political power or a country or anything else that is in the kingdom of this world. It is time that we started to realize that what Jesus said to us is true. Blessed are you if they persecute you for my name's sake. He promised us that we would be persecuted. We have been fortunate in this country that we have not faced persecution. But it will come, as it has come in almost every other country, at different times and in different places throughout history. Am I happy about it? No. But it is a stated fact. Jesus told us we would face these things. And we will not win on this side. Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. This place is not our home." And we have to quit trying to make God's kingdom a political kingdom, but rather, we are to build the kingdom of Jesus Christ by his power, by proclaiming his grace, his mercy, and his love. And knowing in the end that no matter what we face here, we win. And that's really what the last two verses talk about in our text. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." The Lord allows all of us to live, and that also means to celebrate. In the face of our enemies, because we know that our victory is sure. We are victorious in the person of Jesus Christ, no matter what. Each time we come together and we join in communion, we have a foretaste of that victory. A communion of saints. The time when we come together and we remember saints, past, present, future, when we will all come together one day and feast at the Lord's table in truth, when we will see it with our own eyes. because our Lord prepares our table in the presence of our enemies. There's no fear from God that our enemies are going to overcome us. He has already made sure. He has already defeated them. And so in this life, even though we face things that seem to be scary, we have nothing to worry about. In the presence of our enemies, we can live, we can celebrate, and we can be. The Lord anoints us. And this has a couple of meanings. And I can't tell you which one they are, if it's just both. And so I will give you both. First, anointing. God anointed David as king, which means God chose him for the position that he was about to take. And it is the same with us. God has anointed us to be children of God. He has chosen us before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. And the other one that comes with anoint is to be, is it as a sacred rite or a consecration, which means we are consecrated for His purpose. We are set aside so that we can carry out His calling where He leads us. And the last thing in this verse that David tells us is how many blessings we have. My cup runs over. And in the day, they had a cup, and most often they drank fruit from the vine and it was poured out. And the only thing I could think of is like a white cloth. And the blessings from God come so great to us that it flows over the cup and it covers everything. You see, we are all blessed by God. We have been given everything in Christ Jesus. This body has everything and all the gifts that we need to carry out the work that God has set before this body. He has called each and every one of us to a place, to a mission, and led us in the paths that we are supposed to be in. And He continues to bless us each and every day of our lives. His blessings overflow anything that we can even think of. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A promise. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David in this psalm doesn't talk about the punishment. He doesn't talk about the judgment. He doesn't talk about the wrath of God. He talks about the goodness and the mercy of God. That our lives are filled with God's goodness and His mercy towards us. And the interesting part about that is Paul says this, that he says that it is the goodness of God that brings on repentance. And these are the things that David is talking about. These wonderful promises that we have in our Lord, that He has taken care of our sin debt, that He has taken care of everything that we need to fear. And so we have no fear, for His goodness is with us, and His mercy is all around us. And He sent His Son to shed His blood upon the cross, to forgive our sins, so that we can say this, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, David knew that God left nothing to chance. Let us look back at all the verses and see what the Lord has done. He makes it, makes us not to want. He leads us to green pastures. He leads us to still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And because He is with us, we fear no evil. He prepares our table. He makes our cup run over. He gives us goodness and mercy. David teaches us that even during the Old Testament times, he knew that it was the Lord's promises that sustained him and kept him and brought him through all the troubles and trials that he faced. God is with us. He is our shepherd. And yes, we will fall. Yes, we will be led astray. But He has promised that He will always come looking for us. And that cute little picture of being sheep in the shepherd's arms is also true. And that when we fall and we find ourselves in the muck and the mire and the briars of this world, He reaches in, plucks us out, and carries us back. And He calls on us to believe and to trust in these promises through His Son, Jesus Christ, the sure hope of our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.